You're listening to an Ask Anything research briefing from askanything-app.com. CVE 2026-16232, Checkpoint Smart Console Authentication Bypass, Defender's Guide to the PostPC Exploitation Window. Executive Summary. CVE 2026-16232 is a critical authentication bypass vulnerability. CVE 287, Improper Authentication, in the Smart Console login path of Checkpoint Security Management Server and Multi-Domain Security Management Server, MDS. Checkpoint disclosed it via Secure Knowledge Article SK185169 and Shipped Fix Jumbo Hotfix Accumulator, JHA, builds on July 22, 2026. Simultaneously confirming that the flaw was being exploited, impacting a very small number of customers, i.e., it was a 0-day at the time of patch release, not a vulnerability discovered and quietly fixed before anyone found it. CISA added the CVE to its known exploited vulnerabilities, KEV, cataloged the same day, giving U.S. federal civilian agencies until July 25, 2026, a 3-day window to remediate under binding Operational Directive 26-04. On July 28 to 29, 2026, Rapid7 Labs published a full technical root cause analysis and a working Python proof of concept, POC, on GitHub. Sphere R7/CVE 2026-16232, converting a vendor-confirmed but narrowly exploited 0-day into a broadly reproducible, unauthenticated, network-only exploitation primitive. That is the mass exploitation window this report addresses, the gap between a public, validated POC and the point at which the still substantial population of unpatched, internet-facing checkpoint management servers gets patched or hardened. The defect sits in Login SVC Impl.Authenticate Remote Application, part of the legacy FWM/CPMI Secure Internal Communication, SIC, service, TCP/18190. The vulnerable code accepts a caller-supplied SIC distinguished name, DN, for an application login instead of deriving the caller's identity exclusively from its authenticated peer certificate, get certificate DN name. An unauthenticated network client can read the management server's own SIC DN during unauthenticated bootstrap traffic, replay that DN is a forged application bind identity, obtain a valid application login token, and, because of a related authorization special case for clients that appear to be Checkpoint Config administrators, mint a new Smart Console Single Sign-On, SSO, ticket scoped to system admin with full permission bits. FFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFF That SSO ticket is redeemed against the modern CPM/DLE soap service, TCP/19009/CPMWS/LoginSVCRemote, for a fully privileged smart console session. From there, an attacker can rewrite firewall policy, create or modify administrator accounts, alter VPN configuration, and reach every gateway the management server controls, a complete compromise of the security control plane, not merely of one host. Exploitation requires two conditions to coincide. 1. Network reachability to the management server's CIC/CPMI and CPM ports, which in practice usually means the server is reachable from the internet or from an already compromised segment of the corporate network. And 2. A trusted client's GUI client configuration that does not restrict which source addresses may open a smart console/administrative session. Rapid7's testing found that the second condition, an unrestricted trusted client setting, is the out-of-the-box default for security management server, meaning that any management server exposed to a network without a deliberate hardening step is exploitable as shipped. This is the single most consequential fact in this report for defenders. Patch status alone does not describe exposure, and a huge number of otherwise supported deployments may never have touched the trusted client setting since installation. The affected version footprint is broad. Checkpoints Advisory, SK185169, lists security management and MDS across R77.30, R80, R80.10, R80.20, R80.30, R80.40, R81, R81.10, R81.20, R82, and R82.10. Only three branches received vendor patches, R81.20, fixed at Jumbo Hotfix Take 158, meaning Take 146 and all earlier takes are vulnerable, R82, fixed at Take 118, and R82.10, fixed at Take 36. Every branch at or before R80.40/R81.10 is end of support and has no vendor patch at all. Those deployments can only be protected via network layer mitigation or migration to a supported branch. Checkpoint Patch 2 related, similarly severe issues in the same Jumbo Hotfix release, CVE-2026-62144, an unauthenticated command execution / authentication bypass flaw in management that lets an attacker run runscript and exec command operations against gateways, same version matrix, same take numbers, same trusted clients / firewall prerequisite, and CVE-2026-62145, an authenticated local privilege escalation from a read-only Gaia portal account to root, CVSS 7.5. Defenders patching for CVE-2026-16232 close all three in one hotfix install, and detection / hardening guidance should treat the three as a package. Evidence of exploitation is vendor confirmed but narrow in scope as publicly described. Checkpoint states a handful / very small number of customers were affected, and states that all SmartOne Cloud, its hosted management SaaS, customers were already protected by the service's default network restrictions. Independent secondary reporting, HelpNet Security, citing unnamed honeypot telemetry, suggests automated probing consistent with this authentication flow may have been observed as early as late April 2026, roughly 3 months before public disclosure. This claim has only single-source corroboration in the material reviewed for this report and should be treated as unproven pending vendor or independent confirmation. Checkpoint has published 6 IP addresses associated with observed exploitation and a specific audit log signature, authentication method, application token, that defenders can search for today. With the Rapid7 POC now public, Graynoise / shadow server style opportunistic internet scanning against exposed checkpoint SSE 18190 and CPM 19009 ports should be assumed imminent if it has not already started. No public scanning volume telemetry for this specific CVE was available in the sources reviewed at the time of writing, which is itself a monitoring gap worth closing. For defenders who cannot patch immediately, the interim mitigation is concrete and does not require touching production policy, restrict trusted clients to explicit administrator IP addresses or subnets, smart console manage and settings permissions and administrators trusted clients, and place a firewall in front of the management servers SSE 18190 and CPM 19009. Ports restricting inbound access to that same trusted set. Because the exploit is a pure authentication logic flaw with no memory corruption or protocol fuzzing component, This network layer control is fully effective against the published exploitation path even on unpatched software. But it is also exactly the control that Checkpoint found many customers had never applied. So verifying, not assuming, its state is the first triage action for every affected organization. Key findings. CVE 2026-16232 is an unauthenticated network remote authentication bypass in Checkpoint Smart Console login that grants full administrator access to security management server/MDS with no credentials required. Strong. Root cause is a broken trust boundary in login svcimple.authenticate remote application. The legacy FWM/CPMI service accepts a caller-supplied SIC distinguished name instead of requiring it to match the authenticated peer certificate's DN, strong. The attack chain reads the management server's own SIC DN during unauthenticated bootstrap traffic on TCP/18190, replays it to mint an application login token. Abuses a config administrator special case to generate a system admin scoped smart console SSO ticket, and redeems that ticket via SOAP on TCP/19009/CPMWS/LoginSVC remote for a full administrative session. Strong, Rapid7 Labs technical analysis. Independently reproduced by Rapid7 against Live R81.20 and R82.10 targets. Exploitation requires network reachability to the management server plus an unrestricted trusted clients, GUI clients, setting, and Rapid7's testing found the unrestricted setting is the out-of-the-box default. Strong. Checkpoint confirmed active in-the-wild exploitation prior to patch release, describing impact to a very small number of customers /a handful of customers. Strong, vendor confirmed, scope self-reported, and not independently quantified. CISA added CVE 2026-16232 to the KEV catalog on July 22, 2026. With a compressed 3-day federal remediation deadline, July 25, 2026, under BOD 26-04, an unusually short window reflecting assessed urgency. Strong. NVD/CISADP scores the flaw CVSS version 3.19.1, critical, AV/NAC/L/PRN/UI, N/S, U/C, H/I, H/AN. Checkpoint's own advisory and most vendor coverage cite CVSS 9.3, CVSS version 4.0, AV/AC/L/AT/N/PRN/UI/N/VC/H/6/HVA/SC/N/SI/N/SAN. And Tenable lists a legacy CVSS v2 score of 9.4, the version 3.1 vectors AN, no availability impact, understates real-world blast radius versus the version 4.0 vectors VA/H, since a compromised management server can be used to disable protections on every gateway it controls. Strong for the scores is published. Moderate for which vector best represents operational risk. Public, working exploit code exists. Rapid7 researcher Stephen Feuer published a Python POC, github.com/sfeuer-r7/cve-2026-16232, July 28-29, 2026, that both exploits vulnerable targets and safely fingerprints patched ones. Strong. Vendor patches exist only for three branches, R81.20, Jumbo Hotfix take 158+, R82, take 118+, and R82.10, take 36+. R81.20 was vulnerable through take 146 inclusive. strong. All end of support branches are 80.40, are 81.10, are 81, are 80.30, are 80.20, are 80.10, are 80, are 77.30, are listed as affected but have no vendor fix. They are permanently exploitable absent migration or network isolation. Strong. The patch enforces that remote, non-lookback, clients claimed sick DN must match the DN on their authenticated peer certificate, rejecting mismatches with the log message rejecting caller supplied CIC name that does not match the client certificate DN for application from dot. Strong. The clearest published detection signature is an audit log entry showing authentication method, application token associated with a smart console login. This is present in both the vendor advisory and independent technical write-ups. Moderate, vendor-stated indicator, not independently validated against a large exploitation dataset. Checkpoint has published 6 attacker-associated IP addresses tied to the pre-disclosure exploitation, usable as retrospective indicators of compromise but of limited forward value since infrastructure typically rotates after public disclosure. Limited. 2 additional critical/high vulnerabilities, CVE-2026-62144, unauthenticated command execution via management, CVSS 9.3, same affected/fixed version matrix and same trusted clients/firewall prerequisite, and CVE-2026-62145, authenticated Gaia portal local privilege escalation to root, CVSS 7.5, were patched in the identical jumbo hotfix release and should be treated as a combined remediation event. Strong. Smart One Cloud, Checkpoint's hosted management SaaS, customers were not exploitable via this path because the service enforces network access restrictions by default. This is itself evidence that the vulnerable default lies in customer-managed on-premises trusted clients configuration, not in Checkpoint's own control plane hosting model. Strong. No public, quantified count of internet-exposed vulnerable Checkpoint management servers, e.g., from Shadow Server or Sensi/Shodan-based research, was located in the sources reviewed. This is a live intelligence gap for prioritizing outreach and one every defender-facing team should track as it becomes available. And proven/open. A single-source secondary report describes honeypot detections of exploitation-consistent traffic as early as April 29, 2026, roughly 3 months before public disclosure, which, if confirmed, would extend the known active exploitation window substantially beyond what Checkpoint's advisory implies. Limited, uncorroborated at time of writing. Detail. Disclosure timeline. Date, 2026, event source. April 29th, single secondary report describes honeypot detection of automated exploitation consistent traffic, uncorroborated, HelpNet Security. July 19th, SK185169 first published by Checkpoint, per the article's own publication date field, Checkpoint SK185169. July 22nd, Checkpoint publishes/updates SK185169, SK185152, CVE-2026-62144, SK185153, CVE-2026-62145, ships jumbo hotfixes, are 81.20-158, are 82-118, are 82.10-36. Confirms active exploitation against a handful of customers. Checkpoint Research Blog Advisory published, author, Lodom Finkelstein, VP Research, Checkpoint Blog, SK185169, SK185152. July 22nd, CISA adds CVE-2026-16232 to the KEV catalog with a July 25, 2026 remediation due date under BOD-26-04 CISA Alert, NVD. July 23rd, Rapid7 publishes Initial Emerging Threat Response, ETR, Alert, CERT-FR, CERF for 2026 AVI-0912, and Belgium's CCB issue national advisories. Bleeping Computer and HelpNet Security report Rapid7 ETR, CERT-FR, CCB Belgium. July 24th, Rapid7 Vulnerability Check Tooling made available to customers. Cybersecurity Dive publishes coverage quoting Rapid7's Douglas McKee Cybersecurity Dive. July 25th, CISA KEV Federal Civilian Remediation Deadline NVD, CISA KEV. July 28th, Rapid7 Labs publishes Full Technical Root Cause Analysis Rapid7 Technical Analysis. July 28th to 29th, Rapid7 researcher Stephen Feuer publishes Working Python POC on GitHub. The Hacker News and other outlets report the POC release as opening a mass exploitation risk window. GitHub's Feuer R7/CVE-2026-16232, The Hacker News. The gap between checkpoint confirms narrow zero-day exploitation, July 22nd, and public, reusable exploit code, July 28th to 29th, is the standard pattern that precedes broad opportunistic exploitation of internet-facing infrastructure vulnerabilities, a short interval in which patch and verify is materially cheaper than incident response. Technical root cause, the broken SASE trust boundary. Checkpoint management infrastructure exposes two generations of services relevant to this vulnerability. Legacy FWM/CPMI service, TCP/18190, implements secure internal communication, SASE, Checkpoint's certificate-based mutual trust mechanism used by gateways, smart console, and other Checkpoint components to authenticate to the management server. Communication uses length prefixed, S expression like FW set objects. CPM/DLE service, HTTPS, TCP/19009, the modern management plane API, exposing SOAP services under the CHMOS URI path and using DLCSSIONID session headers for authenticated requests. The vulnerability lives in LoginSVCIMPL.AuthenticateRemoteApplication, which is responsible for validating the identity of a client attempting to authenticate as a Checkpoint application, as opposed to a human smart console user. Per Rapid7's analysis of the vulnerable code path, when a caller supplies a SICKDN as part of the bind request, the method never calls getCertificateDNName to check that value against the identity actually presented on the connection's SIC certificate. In other words, the server takes the client's word for who it is, rather than deriving identity exclusively from cryptographic proof, the peer certificate established during the SIC handshake. This is exploitable because an unauthenticated client can first learn a valid, highly privileged DN to claim the management server's own SICKDN, which is observable during the server's unauthenticated bootstrap communication over the SIC channel. The attacker does not need to steal a certificate or crack SIX cryptography. It only needs to read a value the server itself discloses during normal, pre-authentication protocol setup, and then assert that value as its own identity in a later request. Despite the request field being named certificate bind, no actual client certificate is presented at any point in the published exploit chain. The field is effectively decorative in the vulnerable code path. The exploitation chain, step by step. Rapid 7 Labs technical analysis, independently reproduced against live R81.20 and R82.10 test targets, documents the following sequence. DN reconnaissance. The attacker connects to the FWM/CPMI service, TCP/18190, and, through unauthenticated bootstrap traffic, obtains the management server's own SYCDN, observed in Rapid7's write-up in a form resembling CN equals CPM GMT, O equals GW 5622 CA, 5 OBWA. Forged application bind. The attacker sends a bind request claiming that DN as its own identity, e.g. DN, CN equals CPM GMT, certificate bind, 1, application login, CPM server, with no real certificate behind the claim. Because authenticate remote application trusts the supplied DN, this succeeds. Token acquisition. The attacker issues an open database command and receives a binary encoded FW set response containing a 43-character DLE token, which becomes the DLE sessioned used for subsequent SOAP calls to the CPM service. SSO ticket forging. Using the forged application session, the attacker sends a Gen SSO token request to the legacy FWM service, specifying type, smart console, and a SO original client block naming system admin with permission mask FFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFF WM authorization logic contains a special case. If the current, forged, client is treated as a Checkpoint Config administrator, a GenSSO token request is allowed to bypass the normal permission mask check entirely. This mints a brand new Smart Console SSO ticket with unrestricted administrative scope. SOAP ticket redemption. The attacker redeems the SSO ticket via an HTTPS SOAP post to /cpmws/login-svc-remote-on-tcp/19009 using a user SSO token authentication info payload and receives back a client session ID and SID, a fully authenticated, fully privileged Smart Console session. At no point in this chain does the attacker supply a password, a valid client certificate, a one-time code, or any other credential material. The entire chain is driven by data the server itself discloses, its own DN, plus logic flaws in two separate authorization checks, identity binding, and the config administrator SSO ticket special case. Patch analysis. The fix, present starting at R81.20.158, and the corresponding fix takes for R82/R82.10, restores the trust boundary in three ways documented by Rapid7's diff analysis. For all remote, non-loopback clients, the server now always uses the authenticated peer certificate's DN, get certificate DN name, as the caller's identity. The loopback exception, CN equals SICLocal, is preserved for legitimate local inter-process calls, which do not present a remote peer certificate. If a caller supplies a DN, it is compared against the authenticated certificate DN, and any mismatch is rejected with the log line, rejecting caller-supplied SIC name that does not match the client certificate DN for application, from. Logins are rejected outright when there is no authenticated SIC identity at all, closing the case where an attacker simply omits a certificate and hopes the supplied DN is trusted by default. Rapid7's POC exercises this exact boundary against a patch target. The forged application bind attempt now fails with the message application bind failed. The target is likely patched and not vulnerable, which doubles as a safe, non-destructive way for defenders to verify patch status using the same tool an attacker would use. Affected and fixed version matrix. Checkpoints advisory, SK185169, and companion advisories, SK185152, CVE-2026-62144, and SK185153, CVE-2026-62145, describe an identical affected slash fixed matrix across all three CVEs patched in the July 22, 2026 Jumbo Hotfix release, because all three live in the same authentication slash authorization code paths. Branch affected fixed at support status. Our 77.30 yes no vendor fix end of support. Our 80 yes no vendor fix end of support. Our 80.10 yes no vendor fix end of support. Our 80.20 yes no vendor fix end of support. Our 80.30 yes no vendor fix end of support. Our 80.40 yes no vendor fix end of support. Our 81 yes no vendor fix end of support. Our 81.10 yes no vendor fix end of support. Our 81.20 yes, through Jumbo Hotfix take 146 Jumbo Hotfix take 158 plus supported. Our 82 yes Jumbo Hotfix take 118 plus supported. Our 82.10 yes, unpatched builds Jumbo Hotfix take 36 plus supported. Products in scope, Security Management Server and Multi-Domain Security Management Server, MDS. Checkpoint's own blog advisory additionally lists Firewall, Multi-Domain Management, and Multi-Domain Log Server as in scope specifically for CVE-2026-62145, the Gaia Portal local privilege escalation issue, reflecting that Gaia Portal is present on gateway as well as management appliances, administrators should not assume this is a management-only patch cycle. Smart One Cloud, Checkpoint's hosted slash SaaS management offering, is explicitly stated by the vendor to be unaffected because its default network access restrictions prevent the prerequisite unrestricted trusted clients condition from existing in the first place. This is a useful data point. It confirms the vulnerability's exploitability is fundamentally gated by a configuration choice available to on-premises customers, not by anything unique to Smart One Cloud software stack. The trusted client's default is the exposure multiplier. Every public technical write-up on this vulnerability converges on the same operational point. The vulnerability's severity in practice is set less by whether a given branch slash take is patched than by whether trusted clients, GUI clients, was ever restricted at all. Rapid 7 states plainly that the default trusted client setting does not restrict GUI clients, meaning a freshly installed or never hardened management server is exploitable by design once it has network line of sight from an attacker. Independent of patch level, patched systems reject the forged bind regardless of trusted client state. Unpatched systems are exploitable if trusted clients is unrestricted. This reframes the incident from apply a hotfix to apply a hotfix and verify a configuration control that most environments never touched. Checkpoint's own confirmed victim population, described only as a handful of customers forward slash a very small number of customers whose management systems were exposed directly to the internet without IP restrictions, is consistent with this. The compromises the vendor is aware of occurred specifically where both preconditions, network exposure plus unrestricted trusted clients, were simultaneously true, which the vendor frames as an edge case but which independent researchers frame as a common, easily reproduced misconfiguration given the default. Evidence of exploitation and public exploit code. Vendor confirmed exploitation. Checkpoint's SK185169 and its Checkpoint Research blog post, authored by VP of Research Lodum Finkelstein, state directly that CVE-2026-16232 is being exploited, impacting a very small number of customers, identifying this as zero-day exploitation discovered and patched simultaneously. Checkpoint's blog states the flaw was found during a routine blast security review, implying internal detection of in-the-wild abuse or of the vulnerability itself, coincident with abuse, rather than external researcher disclosure. CISA KEV listing. CISA's addition of the CVE to the known exploited vulnerabilities catalog on the same day as vendor disclosure is itself independent, if indirect, confirmation. KEV entries require evidence of active exploitation meeting CISA's inclusion criteria and the compressed 3-day remediation window, versus KEV's more common 2-to-3-week windows for lower urgency entries, signals elevated assessed urgency. Published indicators of compromise. Checkpoint has published 6 IP addresses observed in connection with pre-disclosure exploitation, 151.241.99.207, 151.241.99.233, 158.62.198.182, 192.142.10.99, 139.28.37.250, and 194.213.18.137. These are retrospective IOCs useful for checking historical logs for evidence of prior compromise, but should not be relied upon as a forward-looking detection control, since threat actors typically rotate infrastructure after public disclosure and especially after a public POC drops. Unconfirmed early exploitation report. One secondary source, HelpNet Security, references honeypot detection of automated exploitation consistent activity as early as April 29, 2026, about 3 months before Checkpoint's July 22 disclosure. This claim did not appear, corroborated, in any other source reviewed for this report, including Checkpoint's own advisory, which does not give a first observed date and should be treated as an open, unproven data point pending confirmation from the honeypot operator or an independent telemetry source. Public proof of concept. Rapid7 researcher Stephen Feuer published a Python POC at github.com/sfeuer-r7/cve-2026-16232. Usage is a single command, Python 3CVE-2026-16232.py target FWM port 18190. CPM port 19009, timeout. The tool implements the full chain described above as SICKDN reconnaissance, forged application bind, token acquisition, SSO ticket forging, and SOAP redemption, and is explicitly designed to double as a safe vulnerability verification tool, since it reports the specific rejection message patched systems return. Because the POC is a straightforward, dependency-light Python script implementing a pure authentication logic exploit, no memory corruption, no environment-specific tuning, the technical barrier to weaponizing it for mass automated internet scanning is low. This is the basis for describing the current period as a mass exploitation risk window rather than a targeted one. Community tooling. A third-party, unofficial tool, Wade's Weaponshed/Checkpoint Trusted Access Review on GitHub, has emerged as a local web application defenders can run against their own management server API to audit for the specific misconfigurations. Trusted clients set to any, missing management plane segmentation, etc., implicated in CVE-2026-16232. CVE-2026-62144, and CVE 2026-62145 simultaneously, and to scan audit logs for related indicators. It is not vendor-supported and should be evaluated under normal third-party tool risk review before use against production management infrastructure. Companion vulnerabilities patched in the same release. Two additional issues shipped in the identical July 22, 2026 Jumbo Hotfix and share enough of the affected/fixed matrix and exploitation preconditions that Defender remediation and detection work should treat all three as one event. CVE 2026-62144, Management Authentication Bypass and Privilege Escalation. SK185152. Described by Checkpoint as allowing an unauthenticated attacker to run arbitrary commands on the management server, including runscript and exec command against security gateways, i.e., a path to command execution on both the management plane and, through it, managed enforcement points. CVSS reported at 9.3. Same affected branches, same fixed take numbers, are 81.20 take 158 plus, are 82 take 118 plus, are 82.10 take 36 plus, and the same two exploitation prerequisites, management access without firewall protection, or unrestricted trusted clients. Given the overlapping preconditions and identical patch, organizations investigating CVE 2026-16232 exposure should assume CVE 2026-62144 exposure is coextensive and hunt for both. CVE 2026-62145, Local Privilege Escalation in Gaia Portal, SK185153. An authenticated, read-only Gaia Portal web UI user can escalate to root locally. CVSS 7.5. This is a lower severity, authenticated local issue rather than an unauthenticated remote one, but it is relevant to the same incident response population because an attacker who obtains any foothold, including a low privilege one, potentially via other means, on a Gaia-based security gateway or management appliance can use it to fully compromise the host, which matters for post-compromise scoping after a CVE 2026-16232 incident. National certs, including France's CERT-FR, CERF for 2026 AVI-0912, and Belgium Center for Cybersecurity, CCB, issued advisories on July 23, 2026 referencing all three SK articles together, reinforcing that the appropriate unit of remediation is install the July 22 Jumbo Hotfix, not patch CVE 2026-16232 only. Real-world examples and documented cases. Checkpoint's confirmed victim cohort. Checkpoint's own advisory states a handful /very small number of customers were compromised prior to patch release, specifically those with management servers exposed directly to the internet without IP restrictions. This is the only documented, vendor-attributed exploitation cohort in the public record as of this report. Exact count, sector, and geography have not been disclosed. Documented, vendor attributed, not independently quantified. CISA KEV/BOD26-04 Federal Remediation Event. CISA's KEV addition triggered a mandatory, dated compliance action for all U.S. federal civilian executive branch agencies with a July 25, 2026 deadline, a concrete, auditable programmatic response distinct from voluntary vendor patching. Documented via CISA alert and NVD. National CERT advisory issuance. CERT-FR and Belgium CCB independently issued formal advisories on July 23, 2026, each directing their national constituencies to the checkpoint SK articles. Evidence of the vulnerabilities assessed criticality at a national cyber defense level, not merely a vendor severity rating. Documented. Rapid7 Labs reproduction. Rapid7 states it reproduced CVE-2026-16232 against affected R81.20 and R82.10 versions of the target software in a controlled research environment, and confirmed vendor patches successfully remediate the vulnerability and prevent the POC script from succeeding. This is the strongest independent, non-vendor, technical confirmation that the vulnerability is real, exploitable as described, and that the vendor fix is effective. Documented, independently reproduced. Smart1 Cloud is a natural control group. Checkpoint's statement that Smart1 Cloud customers were unaffected due to default network restrictions functions as an informal natural experiment. The same underlying software defect exists in that service's control plane, but the deployment default, restricted network access, prevented exploitation, directly supporting the report's central defender takeaway that trusted clients/network exposure, not code alone, determines real-world risk. Documented, vendor stated. Composite scenario, a representative exposed deployment, for illustration only, not a specific reported incident. A mid-sized organization runs security management server on R81.20, has applied Jumbo Hotfix Take 146, a fully current, best practice patch level as of early 2026, but still vulnerable to this specific flaw since the fix arrived at Take 158. Exposes the management server's public IP for remote administrator access via smart console over the internet rather than through a VPN, and has never modified the trusted client setting from its installation default of any. This configuration, patched to a recent take, internet reachable, default trusted clients, is exactly the combination the vendor advisory and Rapid7's analysis describe as exploitable, and is offered here as a composite derived from the advisory's stated exploitation preconditions, not as a report of any specific customer incident. Community detection tooling adoption. The emergence of the independent Checkpoint Trusted Access Review Scanner within days of disclosure, built specifically to check for uses of any entrusted client's configuration and to scan audit logs for the three CVEs, is itself evidence of practitioner community assessment that self-service configuration auditing was an urgent, underserved need following disclosure. Documented via the tool's public repository. Detection guidance. Log-based detection, highest confidence, retrospective and ongoing. Search management server/MDS audit logs for authentication events where the authentication method field reads authentication method, application token. This phrase is cited consistently across the vendor advisory and independent technical analyses as the artifact left by ticket redemption in this attack chain. Legitimate interactive smart console logins authenticate by username password, Radius/LDAP, certificate, or SSO through an identity provider, not by a raw application token. So this method value appearing against a smart console/administrative session is anomalous and warrants investigation. Cross-reference any hits against. Source IP addresses that do not match known administrator workstations, jump hosts, or VPN concentrator egress ranges. Timestamps immediately followed by policy install, administrator account creation/modification, or configuration export actions, the practical next steps an attacker would take after gaining system admin scoped access. The six published historical IOC addresses, 151.241.99.207, 151.241.99.233, 158.62.198.182, 192.142.10.99, 139.28.37.250, 194.213.18.137. For retrospective matching only. Do not rely on this list for forward detection. Patch / exposure verification, non-destructive. Rapid 7's POC, CVE-2026-16232.py, can be run against a target management server's CC, default 18190, and CPM, default 19009, ports to determine authoritatively whether it is vulnerable or patched. A patched target returns application bind failed. The target is likely patched and not vulnerable. This is the most direct way to confirm remediation status across a fleet without relying solely on reported jumbo hotfix take numbers, which can be misreported or inconsistently applied across multi-domain environments. Any organization running this check against infrastructure it does not own or is not explicitly authorized to test should not do so. This is an authenticated penetration test equivalent action against production security infrastructure and requires the same authorization discipline as any other exploit execution. Network layer indicators. No CVE-specific snort, suricata, or sigma rule from a named ruleset maintainer, e.g., emerging threats, sigma HQ, proofpoint ET, was located in the sources reviewed for this report as of publication. Despite the volume of press coverage, this report did not find a confirmed, published community detection rule, and readers should treat any third-party claim of an available sigma/snort rule for this CVE with skepticism until they can verify the rule against a primary rule repository commit. In the absence of a published signature, defenders can construct interim network detections around the exploit's protocol fingerprint as documented by Rapid7. Unauthenticated application login, CPM server, bind attempts on TCP/18190 where certificate bind 1 is asserted but no valid client certificate is present in the underlying TLS/CC handshake. Gen SSO token requests on the FWM service specifying type smart console combined with a system admin lower name and full permission mask FFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFF inspection signature for organizations with SSE protocol-aware inspection capability. SOAP post requests to /cpmws/login-svcera-mode on TCP/19009 carrying a user SSO token authentication info element shortly after an anomalous TCP/18190 session from the same source. The two-port, two-service nature of the chain, legacy FWM then modern CPM/SOAP, is itself a detectable pattern if both are visible to the same monitoring point. Exposure and configuration auditing. Independent of any active compromise investigation, every organization running an affected version should immediately verify, not assume, two configuration facts. 1. Whether the management servers SSE-18190 and CPM-19009 ports are reachable from the internet or from network segments broader than the administrator population requires, and 2. The current value of trusted clients, GUI clients, under Smart Console Manage and Settings permissions, and administrators trusted clients. The Community Checkpoint Trusted Access Review Tool automates a check for the specific any misconfiguration alongside several other hardening checks relevant to this and the two companion CVEs. Though as an unofficial tool, it should go through normal third-party software review before being pointed at production management infrastructure. Interim mitigations for teams that cannot patch immediately. For the three supported branches with vendor patches, R81.20, R82, R82.10, installing the July 22, 2026 Jumbo Hotfix, Take 158, Take 118, and Take 36 respectively, or later, is the only complete fix and checkpoint, CISA, and every independent researcher reviewed for this report recommend doing so on an emergency basis rather than through a normal change management cycle. For end of support branches, R80.40 and earlier, R81.10 and earlier, there is no vendor fix, and the only durable remediation is migration to a supported, patched branch. Where immediate patching is not achievable, change freeze windows, multi-domain testing requirements, EOL branches pending migration, checkpoints own guidance, echoed by CISA-facing advisories and independent researchers, converges on the same layered control set. Restrict trusted clients, GUI clients, to explicit administrator IP addresses or subnets. Navigate to Smart Console Manage and Settings Permissions and Administrators Trusted Clients and replace an any/unrestricted entry with the specific addresses or ranges from which administrators legitimately connect. This single change removes one of the two mandatory exploitation preconditions and is effective regardless of patch level, because the published exploit chain requires the management server to accept a Smart Console session from the attacker's source address in the first place. Firewall the management server's administrative ports. Restrict inbound access to TCP/18190, SIC/CPMI, and TCP/19009, CPM/SOAP, to the same trusted administrator population, ideally via a dedicated management VLAN, jump host, or VPN concentrator rather than direct internet exposure. Several sources explicitly flag direct internet exposure of the management server as the differentiating factor in the confirmed victim population. Verify implied rules for control connections are enabled and scoped appropriately. Checkpoint's own advisory calls this out as a companion check to the firewall restriction above, since implied rule misconfiguration can inadvertently widen management plane reachability. Apply Checkpoint's hardening best practices guide as a baseline, rather than relying on defaults, since this incident specifically demonstrates that the shipped default, unrestricted trusted clients, is not a safe out-of-the-box posture for internet-adjacent deployments. Audit log review and retrospective IOC matching, see detection guidance above, should be performed regardless of current patch/mitigation status, since organizations that were exploited before applying any of these controls need to know that now, not after their next scheduled log review. Credential and certificate hygiene following any positive detection. Because the exploit chain culminates in a system admin equivalent Smart Console session, any organization that finds evidence of successful exploitation should treat the incident as a full management plane compromise, rotate administrator credentials, review and revert any unexpected policy or object changes, audit administrator account creation/modification history, and consider SIC certificate re-establishment for affected gateways per checkpoint standard CISA reset procedures, given that an attacker with full Smart Console access could have altered gateway trust relationships. Accelerate migration off end-of-support branches. For the R80.x and earlier population, no amount of hotfixing addresses this CVE. Network isolation via steps 1 to 3 is the only available mitigation, and it should be treated as a stopgap pending migration, not a long-term posture, given that EOL branches will not receive fixes for future vulnerabilities either. None of these mitigations require touching enforcement/security policy on managed gateways, and none carry meaningful operational risk of their own. A trusted client's restriction to known administrator ranges is standard practice and should already exist in most mature environments, which removes the usual mitigation versus availability risk trade-off that complicates emergency response for many other classes of vulnerability. Open questions. True scope of pre-disclosure exploitation. Checkpoints handful /very small number of customers characterization is self-reported and unquantified. No independent telemetry source, shadow server, gray noise, a named MSSP/MDR provider, with a published count of confirmed or suspected victims was located in the sources reviewed. Whether the true victim count is in the single digits or substantially higher remains unknown outside Checkpoint's internal telemetry. The April 2026 Honeypot claim. A single secondary source describes Honeypot observed exploitation consistent activity roughly 3 months before public disclosure. This is uncorroborated elsewhere in the material reviewed, including in Checkpoint's own advisory, and its accuracy, and, if accurate, its implications for how long this flaw was known to some actor before Checkpoint's internal discovery, is an open question that materially affects how organizations should scope any retrospective log review. 3 months is a very different retention/review burden than 3 weeks. Internet exposure population size. No public scan-based count, Shodan Sensi/shadow server style, of internet reachable Checkpoint management servers with SSE/CPM ports open, patch level, or trusted clients configuration was available at the time of writing. This is the single most useful missing data point for prioritizing sector or region-level defender outreach and for calibrating how urgent mass exploitation risk actually is in practice versus in theory. Post-PSE scanning volume. As of the sources reviewed, no organization had yet published opportunistic scanning telemetry specific to CVE-2026-16232 following the July 28 to 29 POC release. Given the low technical barrier to automating the published Python POC, this is the highest priority open monitoring item for threat intelligence teams over the days following this report. Absence of a named community detection rule. Despite substantial press coverage describing detection rules in general terms, this report did not locate a specific, attributable Sigma, Snort, or Suricata rule for CVE-2026-16232 from a recognized rule repository maintainer. Whether this reflects a genuine gap or simply a rule not yet indexed by general web search is unresolved. Defenders should check Sigma HQ's and emerging threats repositories directly, rather than relying on secondary reporting, before assuming coverage exists. Relationship, if any, to other recent Checkpoint CVEs. Bleeping Computer's coverage notes Checkpoint's recent history of other actively exploited flaws, e.g., CVE-2026-50751, a VPN authentication bypass reportedly exploited by the Chilean ransomware group, and the earlier CVE-2024-24919. Nothing in the sources reviewed connects CVE-2026-16232 to the same threat actors or campaigns as those prior incidents. Any such linkage would be speculative at this time. CVSS scoring divergence. NVD/CISA-ADP's CVSS version 3.1 score, 9.1, with AEN, and Checkpoints/most secondary reporting CVSS V4.0 derived 9.3, with VAH, reflect genuinely different scoring methodologies rather than a factual dispute, but organizations using CVSS thresholds for automated patch SLA triggers should confirm which score their tooling ingests, since the version 3.1 scores a N component could cause some scoring threshold automations to under-prioritize this vulnerability relative to its actual operational severity. Full administrative control of the security control plane. Practical synthesis. Applies to any organization running Checkpoint Security Management Server or Multi-Domain Security Management Server, MDS, on R77.30 through R82.10, with particular urgency for deployments where the management server, or its SIC/18190 and CPM/19009 ports specifically, is reachable from the internet, from a general corporate network without segmentation, or from any network segment an attacker might already control via an unrelated foothold. Decision framework, in priority order. Determine exposure first, patch status second. Before anything else, confirm whether the management server's administrative ports are reachable from untrusted networks and what the current trusted client setting is. A patched but exposed with open trusted client server and an unpatched but fully isolated server represent very different actual risk, and exposure determination takes minutes while a full patch cycle may take longer. If on R81.20, R82, or R82.10 and not yet at the fixed take, apply the July 22, 2026 Jumbo Hotfix, take 158, 118, or 36 respectively, or later, on an emergency basis. Treat this as a security incident response action, not a routine maintenance window, consistent with CISA's 3-day KEV deadline for federal agencies and the existence of public exploit code. If on an end-of-support branch, R80.40 and earlier, R81.10 and earlier there is no patch, immediately restrict trusted clients and firewall the management server's administrative ports as a stopgap, and put migration to a supported, patched branch on the shortest achievable timeline. This population has no long-term safe state without migration. Regardless of patch status, restrict trusted clients to named administrator IP ranges and firewall TCP/18190 and TCP/19009 to the same population. This is the single highest leverage control because it removes a mandatory exploitation precondition and, per Rapid7's testing, is very likely not yet in place given the unrestricted default. Run a retrospective audit log review for authentication method, application token events and cross-reference against the 6 published historical IOC addresses, regardless of current exposure. Organizations need to know whether they were compromised during the pre-disclosure window, not just whether they are protected going forward. Verify remediation with the POC or an equivalent authenticated check, not just by confirming an installed take number, since take number reporting can be inconsistent across multi-domain or clustered management environments. Extend the same review to CVE 2026-62144 and CVE 2026-62145, since they share the same patch and, for CVE 2026-62144, the same exploitation preconditions. What to measure going forward? A. Percentage of management server/MDS instances at or above the fixed take number, tracked per domain in multi-domain environments. B. Percentage of those instances with trusted clients restricted to a named, reviewed IP set, not any. C. Count and disposition of any application token audit log hits found in retrospective review. D. Whether SIC/CPM ports are reachable from outside an approved management access path, verified by external scan rather than by configuration intent alone, e. time to patch versus the July 25, 2026 KEV deadline as an internal benchmark, even for non-federal organizations, given the demonstrated existence of public exploit code. Evidence and caveats. Well established, multiply corroborated, the existence and CVE identifier of the flaw, the affected product set, security management server, MDS, the specific fix jumbo hotfix take numbers for our 81.20, 158, our 82, 118, and our 82.10, 36. The two precondition exploitability model, network reachability plus unrestricted trusted clients, the root cause description, unauthenticated SICKDN replay via authenticate remote application, the existence of vendor-confirmed pre-patch exploitation, CIS's KEV. Listing in July 25, 2026 federal deadline, the existence and mechanics of Rapid7's public POC, the patch's DN matching enforcement logic. Vendor stated but not independently quantified, the size of the confirmed victim population, a handful / a very small number. The claim that SmartOne Cloud customers were entirely unaffected, plausible given the stated architecture, but not independently audited in the sources reviewed. Single source and unconfirmed, the April 29, 2026 honeypot detection claim predating public disclosure by roughly 3 months. This appeared in only one secondary source among those reviewed and is flagged throughout this report as unproven. Not found in the sources reviewed, despite searching, a quantified count of internet-exposed vulnerable management servers from a scanning-based research source, Shadow Server, Sensis, Shodan-derived reporting, a specific, attributable Sigma Snort Suricata rule from a named rule repository maintainer, PostPC opportunistic scanning volume data, independent, non-checkpoint, confirmation of the exact victim count or sectors affected. Not generalizable. The composite representative exposed deployment scenario in the real-world examples section is explicitly a hypothetical constructed from the advisory's stated exploitation preconditions. Not a specific reported incident, and should not be cited as a documented case. Scoring note, CVSS values differ by source and version, V2, 9.4, version 3.1, 9.1 with AEN, version 4.0, 9.3 with VAH. This is a methodology artifact, not a factual disagreement about severity, but automated SLA/ticketing systems keyed to a single score should confirm which value they ingest.